occasionally in the Gauriya magazine, the Bengali magazine of the Gauriya monks, during the time of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's manifest presence, there were articles published under the heading Paramarthik Bhugol, which means spiritual geography, or more precisely, Paramarthik means that which is concerned with the topmost meaning or the topmost value. These articles would describe visits of Srila Saraswati Thakur and his disciples to holy places. So in that spirit, I wish to discuss now about the spiritual geography of, or description of, briefly, of Kerala, and especially this area or this place, Thiruvananthapuram. I think for many devotees it may be their first visit to Kerala. How many are coming for the first time? Please. Yeah, most. Many. I myself, not many times, I can probably. About five, or maybe this is my fifth visit, like that. Apart from going through on the train, traveling from Tamil Nadu to Mangalore. That many times I've been through, but haven't visited so many times. So we're talking about the geography or the features of this place which are connected with the highest goal of life. That means with Krishna. Krishna is the highest goal of life. Krishna is life. He is high, he is the goal, he is life, he is the highest goal of life. So this whole land of Bharatavarsha is particularly meant for attaining the highest goal of life. Birth in this land is especially advantageous. Birth in a human body is especially advantageous for understanding the highest goal of life, acting in a manner that will help one to come to that level and to actually attain the highest goal of life. This has traditionally been the focal point of the culture of this land, which is now called India. The Puranic name is Bharata. It has been the focal point. It's always been understood in this land that religious practice is the most important aspect of life. And those who are more advanced know that it's the only important, the only truly important aspect of life. Now, people are degraded. The advance of Kali Yuga is visible in every aspect. Kale dosha nidhi rajan. Dosha nidhi. Kali Yuga is called dosha nidhi, which means an ocean of fault. So if you're in the ocean, whether you go, if you're in the water, whether you go up, down, forward, backward, to the left, to the right, there's only water. So in the ocean of faults that is Kali Yuga, in everything, in every sphere, there is contamination, except in the Sankirtan movement of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Of course, Kali also exerts his influence to try to convert the pure motive of serving Krishna he attempts to convert people into demons. So this land of Bharata is most special for its spiritual association. Every area of India is connected by visits, at least. Of course, there are places like, well, you know, there is Vrindavan Dham, Dwaraka Dham, Sri Navadvip Dham, which are the eternal abodes of the Lord. And there are also many places which are visited by the Lord in his various avatars, and by great devotees, places where great devotees have performed bhajan, great rishis have performed tapasya. So great rivers flow, which are all personalities who are great devotees of the Supreme Lord, in which the Supreme Lord himself in his various avatars and great devotees have bathed, performed sacrifices on the banks of, and so on. So this whole land of India is very special. Other areas, Kerala is unique in one sense, in many ways actually, but other areas, the borders are somewhat arbitrary. That means you can't you may not be able to exactly define what is the border between Tamil Nadu and Andhra Pradesh. And in fact, that was a point of contention when the states were split up on a linguistic basis. Where do you put the border? Does Tirupati come in Tamil Nadu or in Andhra Pradesh? Well, now we know, but at the time, it was a point of contention, because linguistically, the people are spread here and there. And even just like Karnataka, they made it one state, although they're all on the basis of Kannada language, although there are whole areas in which the Kannada language was never spoken before they made it the state language. It was never spoken in the Tulu Nadu or Coorg, these areas, they didn't speak Kannada. They spoke their own local languages. For instance, what to speak of? Anyway, I don't want to enter more detail. It's Konkani, so many Marathi, there's so many. But so the states have been broken up in a somewhat arbitrary way. But Kerala is unique in as much as this land was created by Parashuram. It was not here. It was in the ocean. There was ocean here. And Parashuram being, he came to the south, exhibiting the pastimes of an ordinary person after killing all the Kshatriyas in the world 21 times. That means some of them must have survived each time and repopulated. And some of them ran away also. So he had to make some expiation for his sins. Srila Prabhupada comments in the Bhagavatam that it doesn't matter who one is, whether one is Parashuram, Kartavirya Arjuna, and he mentioned one other name in his purport. If one commits sinful activities, even if one is Parashuram, one has to make some atonement for the sinful activities, which is quite an amazing comment, saying that Parashuram is Vishnu avatar, not considered Purna avatar, but anyway, he came on the, his specific duty function is to kill all the kshatriyas with his parashu, his axe, as described in Bhagavatam. His, so fast his axe was moving that it was just inconceivable how he was just chopping the heads off of so many kshatriyas, one after the other. You can only kill one at a time with an axe, but he was doing so quickly. So at Samantapanchaka in Kurukshetra, that was filled. You can go there now and bathe in the water, but originally that was blood, just filled with blood. So there are different rasas in Krishna consciousness. That's vibhatsa rasa, or horrible, ghastly rasa. So that's also one kind of rasa, that parasha. So he was advised to give land to the brahmanas. So he came down to Kanyakumari and threw his axe. And according to people in Kerala today, it landed around Kasaragod, which is the border with the present Karnataka. That's where Mangalore begins. But then, at least according to the Puranic description, it went up to Gokarna, which is another great Puranic sthalam. You should all learn. You have to teach this in the Gurukul. This Puranic Bhugol. And then you can visit all these places. Just like I always think that we often hear about this Mahishmati on the Narmada. That's also mentioned in relation with Kartavirya. Now it used to be a major city. It's always mentioned in the Puranas. Now there's a small settlement with a temple of Shiva. I haven't been there. Adbhutari has been there. So that when you, just like if you're traveling in Gujarat, you'll see the Narmada River. Then just when Vishwamitra was bringing Ram and Lakshman, he would tell them all the stories that this place, this happened, this place, that happened. So you should know all these things. At least the children can be trained. They can know. What is the value of India? Not that India got some Nobel Prizes and they have some nuclear weapons. Nuclear weapon? What's a nuclear weapon? There's one Brahmastra, because more than all the nuclear weapons all put together, controlled by mantra. Parashuram, what's he care for a nuclear weapon? There's no nuclear weapons going to do anything to him. He'll just look at it and it'll just be diffused just by looking at it. So, where were we? Yes, so this land was created by Parashurama. And the people of Kerala, at least those who still believe in Vedic culture, almost half the population is now away from Vedic culture. I mean, they're non-Hindus. Hindus also, they're away from Vedic culture, but at least they have some strong semblance of Vedic culture. But those who are Muslims and Christians, they have no, they don't claim allegiance, or rather they're against that, unfortunately. So Parashuram is considered the father of Kerala, although the culture is more connected to another avatar, Vamanadeva, and especially to Bali. So this is a little difficult to work out because Vamana needs research. Ever heard that word before, research? Vamana, he's which number in the avatars? Number one is? Number two, matzah, kurma. Number three, varaha. Four, narasimha. Number five, and then number six is parashuram. So I'm not sure how exactly this works, because at least in the Bhagavatam, the description is, maybe Vamana was there for a long time before he, but he came for the purpose of, maybe when I say he was there with his mother and elder brother in heaven, but actually he was born for the specific purpose of taking the heavenly planets back from Bali. So it seems that soon after he was born, he must have gone there. So it's, anyway, this land was ruled by Bali. This was his place. And they call him Mahabali. And generally in the Puranas, they always call Mahabali. So it was from, and then he went to the heavenly planets and conquered it. And then Vamana came. And when Bali was here, it was a very prosperous land. Generally, the demons, they have a lot of prosperity. They have a lot of worldly happiness. That's what they're interested in. Opulence. Bhogaishvarya, this is what they're... So they get that also. And actually today also you can see that naturally this land is very opulent. Opulence doesn't mean factories. But opulence means where there's plenty of water, fertile land, and auspicious trees like coconut, mango, betel, palm tree, which are all in abundance here. One of the features of modern Kerala is that the population is said to be 100% literate. And interestingly, for those who are very interested in, we have to improve the nation by sending everyone to school and getting them all literate. It's also a state where the employment level is very low and the average income is not so good either. So how does that connect? Literacy is supposed to make you opulent. But it doesn't work necessarily. Hasn't worked here. This land was very opulent before they brought in all this idea of factories and send your children to school. They were doing better without all of that. And in fact, the whole world was doing a lot better without it. So, modern Kerala, of course, still Hindus are in the majority. We don't know how much longer for. This whole town, you can understand, is the central point for the Hindus is Ananta Padmanabha Swami temple. There's also a temple of Parashuram and other temples here. Further north, and generally throughout Kerala, the Vaishnav culture or the Krishna culture is more influenced by Guruvayurappan. We went there about 1.5 years ago. We went there, we took a yatra there. Kerala Hindus are also much influenced by Shankaracharya, who appeared here. All of India, all of the world is influenced by Shankaracharya. But his influence is particularly strong here. Other modern influences are Marxism, communist strongholds in India since independence and democracy and all this stuff. Everyone votes, So communist governments are regularly voted here, as in West Bengal and also Tripura, but Tripura is very small. Christianity has been very strong here. There are Jews here also, a handful of Jews, going back since a long time. There were Christians here before Saint Francis Xavier here and chopped a few people's heads off, and in this way spread the message of love of Jesus and made some Christians. If you want to keep your head on, you have to be a Christian. So that was their preaching method, but even long before that there were Christians here. And actually he killed a lot of the Kerala Christians also, because they never heard of the Pope. So he told them, you have to believe in the Pope. And he said, who? And he said, chop your head off. So you should also learn these things. This Gurukul children can also learn this, because what they teach in the regular schools is history. In most countries, the history is just a bunch of lies, just to brainwash the people. If you learn the actual history of India, then it's somewhat different. So Marxism, Christianity, Islam, there are many Muslims here. Among the Hindus, another, not a major influence, but in all of it, Tantra is the left-wing Bharma Marga, this left-wing Tantra, which in black magic, that's all of India, actually all over the world, but one of the main places is here also. Otherwise you'll get everywhere, but especially Kerala is very strong, Assam has always been very strong, and West Bengal with the Kali worship, that goes hand in hand, Orissa, all these places, it's stronger. So this Padmanabha Swami temple goes back a few hundred years, looking for the date. A few hundred years, but it's mentioned also that Balaram visited here. So that's at least 5,000 years old. And it's a Divya Desha. That's in the Sri Vaishnava Sampradaya, there are 108 Divya Deshams, or spiritual places, transcendental places, most of which appear in this world in Tamil Nadu. And here in Kerala, there's Tiruvananthapuram, and also Tiruvattur, the place of Adi Keshava, Tiruvattur, and some other, I can't think of any offhand. Janardhan Temple, maybe, I don't think that's included in Divya Deshams. So there are a few here, and then in Karnataka, mostly in Tamil Nadu, and also in Mathura, Govardhan, like that. And then there are also in Nepal, the Muktinath, and then you have the Parampadam, which you have to leave this world to go there. So this is one of the Divya Deshams. I mean, it's very ancient. It means that practically the history, you can say this temple was built in such and such a time, but it's really a spiritual place that's marked by the Lord for His own worship. I should come here. It means even we can say that the worship began at some point in time, but this whole area, it's a manifestation of that's marked out by the Lord. This is where He is to come. Even if He hasn't come, it's already marked out. He's going to come there. Just like Sri Rangam, the Lord wasn't there, but He came there. He had the place marked out already. So these are all spiritual places of the Lord's residence. So Balaram visited here. Madhvacharya in his Digvijaya Yatra, conquering everywhere. There's two ways of conquering. One is kings, they go out and conquer. And another is that pundits go and conquer. Vaishnavas are not interested in conquering for the sake of name, fame and glory for themselves, but they would go and conquer to establish the proper Siddhanta and bring people to the proper purpose of life, which is Vishnu Bhakti. So Madhvacharya on his Digvijaya tour, he also came here. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, well, before that, Nityananda Prabhu almost certainly came here. It's not exactly mentioned in Chaitanya Bhagavat, as Guru Vaya is not mentioned in Chaitanya Charitamrita. But Ananta, this place is mentioned in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's tour of South India. He visited here, he was here for 2 days. Gora Mara Deshabasthane Karalo Brahmana Ronge Sheshabasthana Heribhavami Pranayi Bhakata Sandha. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, voicing the aspiration of all devotees of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, says that all the places that my Gora, our Gora, he visited very happily on his travels, I wish to visit all those places in the company of loving devotees. So we are fortunate to visit this place, which is Gaura Padankita Desha. It's marked by the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And although others may not be very happy to hear it, but actually the fact that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has come here is more important to us than even the visits of other great Vaishnava Acharyas. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he also visited here and was treated as a state guest by the Maharaj of Travancore. This was a this kingdom area was Travancore. Was called. This was never officially, there's one of these states of India that was never officially ruled by the British. It was officially independent, although the kings didn't really have the independence to do what they wanted, but they were under, they had a British advisor with them, which meant that they had to do what he said. But they were nominally independent. So the Maharaj of Travancore, he treated Saraswati Thakur as a state guest. He personally showed him around the temple, and Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur explained to him the teachings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in relation to the other Vaishnava Acharyas of South India. That means particularly Madhva and Ramanuja and their followers, because the teachings of Madhva, chronologically Ramanuja, then Madhva, their teachings have been developed also. We understand their teachings through other acharyas who came later. And that's there with all the Vaishnava Acharya, and even with the Mayavadi Acharya, Shankara, his teachings as they are taught now, if they're taught, better they're not taught, but if at all they're taught, it's taught through other Acharyas who have come in the line, and in the line of the Vaishnava Acharyas, there have been Acharyas who have clarified certain points, magnified certain points and made it clearer, solved certain controversies, and in the sake of the line of Shankara, they made the mess worse. That's what the definitive Acharyas have done. They made the nonsense even more nonsensical. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur explained that. That's interesting, isn't it? Because that was about 80 years ago. And at that time, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he could explain such things. Nowadays, you'll hardly find anyone who has any idea, even heard the name of Ramanuja or Madhva, let alone what their teachings are and how they can be understood in the light of Gaudiya Siddhanta. Times have changed for the worse. People don't know. If we are to discuss what is Vishishtadvaita, Sharir Shariri Bhav, Shuddhadvaita, Shuddhadvaita, no one's heard of these things. It's unfortunate. Kali Yuga is marching on. As Srila Prabhupada said that when India was made independent, they should have made Krishna consciousness the state religion for the whole country. Srila Prabhupada was trying for that, but no one was listening to him. Still they're not listening. So, Padmanabha Swami is asleep. He's always sleeping. Of course, when the Supreme Lord is asleep, he's also awake. His sleep is not the state of ignorance that we enter in when we go to sleep. He never becomes unaware. It's not that he's tired and has to go to sleep. But that is his yoga nidra, his transcendental sleeping. And actually, from the point of view of this material world, it's better to be asleep, to be our consciousness cut off from this whole materialistic way of thinking. So we should all be asleep in that sense. We should all not be tuned into or awake to tidings of the material world. We should be asleep in the sense that our consciousness is not related to that, in that sense. So he's lying down, the Lord lies down on Ananta. Therefore he's known as Ananta Padmanabha. The deity is Ananta Padmanabha because Ananta is there. Of course, that's one name of Vishnu also, Ananta. He's also without any end, which means he's also without any beginning. Anadi Ananta. But specifically the serpent who he lies on is Ananta. And Padmanabha can mean that his navel is beautiful like a lotus, but also the specific meaning that a lotus grows from his navel, and on that lotus, Lord Brahma is born. He's known as Padmasambhava, born from a lotus. So a lotus flower grows from his navel, and this deity, or this Padmanabha, we can see that the lotus is growing and Brahma is on top of that. So here we have Brahma, Vishnu and Shiva all in one place, because Padmanabha's right hand is over little Shiva linga. So we have Brahma, Vishnu, Mahesh all in one place here. This temple is said to be a replica of the Adi Keshav Perumal temple at Tiruvattur, which is just north of here, also visited by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Famously, he received the Brahma Sanghita there. And Tiruvananthapuram. Tiru means Lakshmi, who's always with Vishnu, so she's massaging his lotus feet. Very big deity. Right? Have you all had darshan? Have you all been? It's a very big deity. Seems to be very big. Well, he's not that big. If you take his original form as Garbhadakshay Vishnu, he's much bigger. But so this is a little small, actually. But to us, seems to be very big. So, how he came to be so big, Bilva Mangal, he's also said to be from Kerala. There are different stories about him. Also known as Divakamun. Now, we know the Bilva Mangal who later went to Vrindavan, but he was residing near the Anantapura temple in Kasaragod. He was praying to Vishnu for his darshan. One small naughty boy came and urinated on his shalagram. Krishna can do that because he is Krishna. It's not for anyone else to do. So the muni became upset, naturally, and chased the boy, and he disappeared. So he was running and running and chasing. And there he saw the boy merge into a big tree. The tree fell down and became this form. You say, you wanted my darshan? Okay, here it is. Here I am. So then he understood that this boy who had done this act was actually Anantashayan. That's another name. There's so many names. Anantashayan, he who lies on Ananta. And was very big. His head was in one part of the state, his navel was in another part, and his foot was in another part. So if you want to take darshan, you'll have to go on padyatra if you want to take a full darshan. It'll take a few days to take darshan. So he asked him to become smaller. So he's become small. This form is small. He was much bigger because Vishnu is very big. He's not a small timer. So even then there were three trees standing in the way, and those three trees are still there. So you can't get darshan all at once. The Maharaj of Travancore, his name is Padmanabha Dasa. That's the name he actually... where are we going here? 200 years ago or so, the Maharaj of Travancore, he said that now all my kingdom I'm giving, now it's his kingdom. So instead of pretending to be the king, I'm just the servant. My name is Padmanabha Dasa, and I'm ruling the kingdom, but actually he's the king, and everything's in his name. And that's been the situation for all kings in future. He made that also. That for all kings of Kerala in future, they will never be considered the king exactly, or the owner, or the ruler, but they're doing as the servant, as the slave of Padmanabha. So up to the present day, the king, he has to come daily and tell about the administrative duties, what's going on in this, because he's like the prime minister, and the king is Padmanabha. So that's going on up to the present day, even though now the king has no position politically, but still the temple is run by a trust which is composed of the members of the royal family. So all the kings, they were called Padmanabha Dasa, and the queens, they were called Padmanabha Sevini. That's what they're known as. So Padmanabha, yeah, his five hoods are there. Also, you'll see the smaller deities where the Lord is standing with Sri Devi and Bhudevi. The deity is from 12,000 shalagram shilas, all one deity. And that's therefore connected with the Pashupatinath temple in Nepal, which is a very important temple with the whole Vedic culture. It's especially connected, the kings of Nepal are intimately connected with Jagannath. They're all disciples of the... Of course, there aren't any more left, unfortunately. But they were all disciples under the... Although Nepal was an independent kingdom, but the kings were all under the Shankaracharya at Puri. So they were intimately connected with Puri, and also here with Ananta, Padmanabha. So the whole deity is covered with a special mixture of different products which is prescribed. The platform in front of the deity is one single stone, one huge stone. And only the king is allowed to prostrate himself there, because he's the only one who can say that I've given everything, my everything is his, because actually it is. Everyone can say, my everything is yours, but you keep your own bank account and your own home. This is my house, but for the king, he has literally no personal property whatsoever by order of his forefathers. You cannot have anything, it's all his. So he's the only one who's allowed to bow down, which he does daily before the Lord, because he's surrendered everything to him. Famously, it became famous recently, how much wealth is in the... There's six chambers below the temple where there's huge amount of wealth, because the king, he gave... King means he should be rich. He's not going out getting his ration card. So the king is supposed to be very rich. And that's why the... India was invaded so many times. The British came here, the Portuguese, the Dutch, the French. They all came here not to go sunbathing on the beach. They came here to take... Because they're extremely wealthy. India, when following her culture, was extremely wealthy. So the temples, they were very rich. The kings would give gold, jewels, silk, pearls, all these things. So a tremendous, huge amount of wealth. Estimated at the low, the wealth is of, which belongs to Padmanabha, is estimated in value at from $6 billion to $20 billion. The value, actually it's invaluable. Don't touch it, you rascals. They want to take... Now they're saying, let's take it out and feed the poor, which... Let's take it out for the benefit of the nation. It all belongs to Krishna. Don't touch it. They shouldn't... They're so ambitious to touch it, but they'll be destroyed by touching that. All that wealth belongs to him. They shouldn't dream of touching it. Of course, the wealth of the temple, that so much donations are coming, that should also be used for, that's what Srila Prabhupada said when he met the endowments minister of the government of Andhra Pradesh, that so much money is coming daily, that should be used for spreading the teachings of Balaji. That should be used for spreading Krishna consciousness. So the government is looting in the name of managing the temples. They're simply looting the wealth and using it for their own materialistic purposes. So there are so many things in there. Up until fairly recently, there was regular traffic between here and Jaffna in Sri Lanka. That was a Tamil kingdom, and there was a Vishnu deity there. It's described. Maybe you could. Did you hear of that? You should investigate that. What happened? There was a Vishnu deity, which was man size, fully gold, with huge eyes of rubies which would glow at night. You can investigate that. There was a highly opulent kingdom. Again, the British took over. We don't know what happened. Now Sri Lanka is supposed to be a poor country, but there was so much wealth there. So that's described. There was regular traffic, I mean sea traffic, going up and down between these two. And that was a Vishnu temple. So you should find that out and propagate that. They're saying that this is all Shiva's country, but the Vishnu worship was there also. So there are much information has been suppressed, actually. And all lies have been propagated. So what else? Oh yeah, it said that this temple of Ananta Padmanabha, of course, being Divya Desham means that it's praised by various alvas, Nam Alva. I got a reference that it's mentioned in 7 Puranas, including Bhagavat Purana, but I couldn't find any direct reference to this temple in the Bhagavat Purana. It's mentioned also in the, said to be mentioned in Brahma Purana, Brahmanda Purana, Skanda Purana, Varaha Purana, Padma Purana, and Matsya Purana. So, Hare Krishna. Only Hindus are allowed in the temple. So those who are non-Hindu, you have to get permission. We're all non-Hindus, right? Who's a Hindu? That's what we're supposed to understand. Sarva padi vinir muktam. We're not professing the Hindu faith, but anyway, they have their ideas. And if you want to have darshan, you have to pretend you're a Hindu. You have to say you're a Hindu. So devotees with white skins, you have to say I'm a. You have to go and get permission. So that will be arranged by our local ISKCON temple here. Yeah, I didn't say it should go without saying that every major city in India has an ISKCON temple. Actually not, up to date, still there are some places which don't have, so that should be rectified. I was saying all the influences. The influence of Shankaracharya is very strong. Marxism, Islam, Christianity, so we should recover this state for Krishna consciousness, make Srila Prabhupada very well known. Everyone should worship Srila Prabhupada. They can be a Christian if they want. They can say Jai Om Jesus and Go Premanande Hari Hari Bol also. Why not? If you best want to understand the teachings of Jesus, then you have to read Srila Prabhupada's books. That's a fact. In fact, you can't understand his teachings at all unless you read his books. We should tell people like that. Jesus said, "Our Father who art in heaven." Well, you want to know about Our Father who art in heaven? Read Srimad Bhagavatam. You'll get all the information you need. In fact, he's not even in that heaven that you're thinking about. That you want to go to heaven, that's Indraloka. That's Taitam Bhukdva Swargalokam Vishalam Shine Punye Martya Lokam Vishant. That's just a place where you go up and come back to. But the real place we have to go to is beyond the material heaven, the spiritual world. So that's where Jesus was pointing us to, not to some place where it's just like you go to a party. There's some apsaras and there's some soma ras. You drink, you dance, you have some dancing girls, and then when it's over, it's back to work Monday morning. So it's like a weekend fantasy going to the heavenly planets. But the real thing is back home, back to Godhead.